Do you know what God is really like? Who is He? Where can He be found? What kind of being is the God of the book of Acts? In our study of the book of Acts, as we've been going along, we've been noticing the various things that have happened as they have been recorded, and we have been studying them in these past days, trying to understand what is recorded of the various incidents that occurred. And through it all, we are conscious of the fact that the early Christians believed in God. And the more we think about it, before we realize this is the most, perhaps, the most important aspect of their faith. They are the kind of people, that's what made them the people they were, was their faith in God. Well, now when a person mentions the name God, shall we just think anybody? Shall we just think anything? If someone was to say that the pagan people believe in God, is that the same as the God the Christians believe in? Or shall we think that each person makes his own idea of God, and therefore it makes no difference exactly what one thinks about God, just so you worship God? Let us now review to our minds, recall to our minds some of the things that we noticed as we went along in the book of Acts about God as He is recorded in there. One of the first things that comes to my mind is that God is a living God. I remember when Paul was on Mars Hill in the city of Athens, speaking to those Greeks, he made a point of it to say that God does not dwell in temples made by hands, which is, so far as you and I are concerned, is telling us that God is not the kind of a person that you can shut up in a church. Now, it's a very common thing for you and for me to have an idea that if we wanted to worship God, we're going to church. And I expect that little children still have a feeling in their minds and hearts that if they go into the church, they're going into the presence of God. And I expect for a good many of us older people, when we go into a church sanctuary and we are seated in there, we cannot help but feel that we're in the presence of God. I expect that's one reason why churches are built the way they are and why they're furnished the way they are. Some of them have stained glass windows just the way they do, in order to give us a sort of an impression that this is an unusual situation and we are now to be brought into the very presence of God. And if I'm not careful, I'm inclined to get the idea that God's somewhere in that sanctuary. That you get inside of a church, that's where God is. That until you get into the church, you can't talk to God. Now, the book of Acts doesn't hold that view at all. The book of Acts would say immediately that God does not dwell in temples made by hands. Actually, God does not specially live in the church, that church building. It isn't when you go into the sanctuary, that beautiful sanctuary of the church that you worship in, that then you come into the presence of God. As a matter of fact, you were in the presence of God while you were getting ready to go to church. You were in the presence of God when you woke up in the morning. You were in the presence of God all day long. You were in the presence of God on Monday just as much as you are on Sunday. And you're in the presence of God when you're driving your car in the traffic just as much as when you're sitting in the pew in the church sanctuary. Now, there's nothing wrong about a church sanctuary. Nothing wrong at all about being in church to worship God. But that is not necessarily where you'll find Him. Furthermore, Paul said to them he did not need sacrifice that you might bring, since He owns everything. He doesn't need our silver and gold. And I wonder how often, because of the fact we associate the idea of going to church with the thought that at that time we go to church, we're going to make a free will offering to something. The chances are, so far as we're concerned, that if we give more money away freely at that time, we do it any time. Now, mind you, we spend more money elsewhere, but all the money we spend, no matter how foolishly we spend it, is always with the idea that we're going to get something out of it. I spend my money because I'm pleased by what I think I'm going to get. I could be disappointed, but still at the time I spent it, I thought I was going to get something out of it. When you get to church and you put your money on the offering plate, there is, for a good many people, I'm sure, the feeling, well, that's the last of that, as if that was all there was to it. And out of that comes the idea that I'm giving something to God. And it is entirely a misunderstanding. God in Himself doesn't need a penny of my money. Now, so far as I'm concerned, I need to give to the Lord's work for my sake. And this comes to our minds when we remind ourselves that he doesn't need our sacrifice, he doesn't need our silver or our gold. Also, in Paul speaking to other people, he said about God that he was the maker of heaven and earth, the maker of all things. And when he was speaking there to the pagan people, he told them that God had not left himself without witness, and that he had given us fruitful seasons and all things to enjoy, which is a way of saying that the book of Acts would claim that all the providence that surrounds us, by which in nature we are benefited, it comes from a kind and benevolent God. Also, when he was talking to those Greeks and talking about God, Paul pointed out that he is the ruler over the nations, that he is sovereign over all nations. And we can keep that in mind, that he is the God of nature and he is the God of history. Now, when Paul was in the synagogue in the city of Antioch in Pisidia in chapter 13 in the book of Acts, you will find that he refers to God as the God of our fathers. At that time, the Apostle Paul was speaking to Jewish people. He was speaking to those who stood in the tradition of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those who stood in the tradition of David, those who had the Old Testament scriptures in their hands. That's a way of saying that he's the God of the Bible. And so far as the book of Acts is concerned, the God that Paul believed in, that Peter believed in, that Stephen believed in, the God that is preached and whose gospel is taken around by the various apostles and missionaries to various places, is the God of the Bible, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of David, and the God of Daniel, that God that you read about in the Old Testament. Now, there are certain things reported in the book of Acts that God did. For instance, he raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. This makes him the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when a person says that he worships God and believes in God, that means, if you're talking in the book of Acts, in the language of the book of Acts, that means that you believe in the God who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, he will raise us up from the dead. Because God is that kind of a person, there shall be a resurrection both of the just and the unjust, Paul said when he was standing in court to speak about his faith. Then again, not only did he raise up Jesus Christ from the dead, but that he took the Lord Jesus Christ into his own presence. And the book of Acts tells us that the Son of Man is standing now at the right hand of God. Now this gets a little closer to us, because when, as long as I talk about God being a living being, as long as I talk about God being the Creator, as long as I talk about God being the God who is sovereign over all things and over providence and over nature and the God of history and say those things, he is a long ways off. I'm down here on earth and he's up in heaven, and somehow or other, between earth and heaven, things are sort of changed. And I think about living down here and then I think about heaven, and it's hard for me to make a connection between the two. But in Jesus Christ, that connection was made. You may remember back in the Old Testament days that Jacob saw a ladder from earth to heaven. And so you may also recall the Lord Jesus Christ said that Nathanael would see in Jesus Christ the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And that is a reference to the messengers of God, the angels of God ascending and descending upon that stairway that Jacob saw. What I'm trying to say to you in a moment here is that in Jesus Christ you see this world and that world at the same time. You see earth and heaven at the same time. Now that's one thing to understand and try to understand when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ coming down here. But it is even more profound when you think about the body of Jesus of Nazareth being taken up there. And the Bible tells us, the book of Acts would hold, that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into the very presence of God where he is now. There are certain other things told in this book about God that are of interest to us. For instance, Paul said, and again in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, that God calls all men everywhere to repent. This is not only then, does he make all men, and does he overrule in nature to provide for all men, and not only does he overrule in history to guide all men so far as their natural affairs are concerned, but person to person, God to man, God calls on men to repent of themselves. And in connection with that, we read in another place that it is said, Peter made a point of saying that God is no respecter of persons. Now, God is the creator of all men, the maker of all men, the keeper of all men, and he is the judge, and he calls on men to repent. This is the God who chose Paul to be an apostle. If he chose Paul to be an apostle, he could choose me, he could choose you. He could give us an assignment, a work to do. This is the God who answers prayer. And we find in the book of Acts that the people came to him, prayed to him, and they got answers to their prayer. This is the God who pours out his Holy Spirit, as he did on the day of Pentecost and elsewhere in the book of Acts. He pours out his Holy Spirit into the hearts of the believing people. This living God will actually send his Holy Spirit into the hearts of those who believe in him. This is the God who works miracles to endorse the gospel. And these wonders are done that the people might be impressed with his servants as they go about over the world preaching. This is the God who brings his will to pass, and that who will work all things together to work things out the way he wants to. For instance, he told Paul at the time of the great storm at sea that Paul didn't need to be afraid what was going to happen, that God intended that Paul should come before Caesar, and to Rome he would go, and the storm would not be able to destroy him. In all these ways, we get the impression that this God, who is referred to in the book of Acts, is the living God, and one in whom we can put our whole trust, our full trust. And we can stand as the Apostle Paul did, and say as he said, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. This is the God of the Bible. This is the God of the book of Acts, and this is our God, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us in our personal understanding of Thee and of Thyself to accept the revelation we have in Scripture, and give us grace in our hearts to believe it, that we might turn to Thee, yield ourselves to Thee, and trust in Thee, obeying Thee at all times. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.